Good morning, good morning, Sacramento, California. It is the Wise Words of One Gon Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm going to play one song to get everybody in, and then we're going to move forward with this show right here. Once again, good morning to you, good morning to you.
I remember growing up as a boy in Durham, North Carolina. My daddy told me, he said, John Jr., don't you ever give up. No, you gotta live right to fight the fight of faith, and you make it all the way. Oh, yes, you will. I've had some trials in this life of mine, but I've never been forsaken. I've had troubles many, many, many times, but I thank God today, yeah. My faith has never been shaken. Listen, out of all my tears that I've shed, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So I made up in my mind, oh,
I am gonna make it.
I've got that old school determination, yeah. Spending all the money, she found that her faith was sealed. She knew if she touched the hem of his garment, that old issue of blood, her body would be healed. So out of everything, yeah, that you go.
Grand Rising Kings and Queens, it's a glorious day to be alive, so let's make the best of it.
Ashe. Double R in the car.
Double R in the car, top of the top, black family. No reparations, no vote. Let's get it.
Ashe, ashe. Mama Chocolate.
Good morning, everyone. I'm here in attendance.
Ashe, ashe, ashe. Rev.
Blessing to you all. This is Rev.
I say, I say. Big Money Grip. Big Money Grip. Okay.
Tim.
Yes.
I just got a call from him saying that he couldn't get in. Now you got him on the board, but he said he wasn't
board.
Able to get in.
I see him on the
All
board.
Right. Well, I don't know.
Brother Sherman.
Good morning. Good morning. God be with you all. What a beautiful day. I haven't went outside, but wow.
I say. I got my nephew Julius on here. Jay, you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning. Blessings to everybody. Looking forward to the conversation.
Thank you. I say. I'm going to go back to Big Money Grip. He has some sounds in the background. Let's see if he's available. Big Money Grip. Okay, we got another caller from the 916-893, and they just hung up. Okay, so, Marvell, we have a special guest today. You know that we've been talking about reparations on here. There's a lot of people that's knowledgeable on here, right? But how do we get the message past this broadcast and into the homes of our people? Without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, it is Marvell Wilson, the host with the most, and he's got guests today. Marvell.
Yes, sir. The question is, how do we get this message of make it available so that everyone could pour in and be a part of? That's a question that's been lingering. So I think it might be important for us to get a clear definition of what the reparations movement is and look at it from a high level, grassroots. What does that actually mean, and what could we actually do to participate to bring it forth? So I'm hoping Ms. Moore is available right now. Maybe you can help field that question, and then we can proceed from there. Ms. Moore?
Hello. Good morning, everyone. I'm happy to be here.
Good morning. Yes, glad to have you. So you just, if you didn't, I posed a question, but if you just dubbed in, Tim has framed it to where it really is in our neighborhoods. And we don't call them communities because Tim has made it clear to us that in order for it to be called a community, there has to be a financial structure. And our financial structure right now is money. We spend and expend, and then the money goes out and it builds empires and fills the coffers of others. So we want to know how we're going to get this message out that we have the opportunity to build community, right? We want to know what reparations actually is from a grassroots level. How do we look at it? Because for your overview, we really appreciate what you put forth, and we respect your effort and respect your effectiveness. However, right now we're struggling in our inner cities to get the message clear and understood. So I'm wondering if you could help us from our vantage point get a better perspective on how to get this message out and get the attractions that we want.
Right, exactly. You know, the California Reparations Task Force, which I was the chairperson of, we worked from June 2021 to June 2023, so 2 years. Unfortunately, most of the first, like, 7-8 of our meetings, we had to have virtual meetings because we were still under a COVID-19 emergency order. Then we had the rest of our hearings in person. We had our hearings in Oakland and Sacramento, San Francisco, L.A., San Diego. But to your point, you know, there's still a lot of Black Americans, Black Californians who aren't very aware about what the task force has done. You know, I've been vocal on the task force about, you know, our poor communications plans. And so, you know, that's something that I've always talked about. And so, you know, as right now, you know, this is part of me kind of like salvaging that, you know, talking to anyone that I can. Just this last Saturday, I drove down to San Diego and met with Black Elder Senior Citizen Home, over 100 folks, getting the word out in terms of what the task force has done and what are the current reparations bills right now. And so the last point I'll say is, you know, I study reparations from an international legal perspective. And from an international legal perspective, it's the aggrieved group, the injured group that's supposed to dictate and lead what repair looks like to them. And so I'm really glad that you mentioned the grassroots, because, you know, we're going to need the grassroots to really, you know, get all of these bills over the finish line and to introduce even more stronger bills, you know, like a direct cash payments bills, which, as y'all probably have heard, out of the 19 or so bills that the California Legislative Black Caucus and Senator Bradford has introduced, you know, none of them relate directly to cash payments. But, you know, I'm happy to continue this conversation with you all so I can educate you all on some of the other bills that are in the works.
Okay, so what do you think will be the most outstanding bill that we could market to our people, aside from the, because, you know, most people want to hear about a check, right? And not to say that that's not a fair assertion, but it is to say that if we had something that we could also present that matches the zeal that people have for cash money, or stands in the stead until cash money has been brought to the forefront, what would that one thing or two things we could take to market to get people to get involved with?
That's a really good question. So the first bill I would say is a bill called SB 1403, and that was introduced by Senator Stephen Bradford. That would create a new state agency just for Black Americans who are descended of slaves. It would have a genealogy office, their lineage. And then once that's done, similar to the Bureau of Indian Affairs, for instance, you'll be able to have access to a plethora or several different benefits, right, from education grants, housing grants, and different things like that. There's also a bill, so SB 1403, that is the bill to create that new state agency But then there's another bill that would put an excise tax on products historically tied to slave labor. That's Assembly Bill 3152 that was introduced by Assemblyman Reggie Jones Sawyer. And if that passes, again, California would levy a new excise tax on gold, cotton, and other items historically produced with slave labor to fund housing loans and education for African Americans as well. There's another bill that's actually very exciting as well called SB 1332. That would create a new fund, a new state fund for reparations, restorative and reparations fund for Black Americans who descend from slaves. So what that would do, that would reallocate already existing money in the state's general fund that is usually transferred over to the state's rainy day fund, but that 6% would now then, if this bill passes, it would go to this new fund, this reparations fund, and that money would go to, you know, indemnifying policies that support descendants of slaves, which eventually would, you know, also entail cash payments. There's also some other really good bills out there too, like SB 1013 just passed the Senate Housing Committee 8-1, right? So it's moving along the process. SB 1013, that would provide housing compensation, housing grants to descendants of slaves to purchase their first home, or if they already own a home, it would provide them mortgage, their mortgage payments, and even homeowners insurance. I can go on and on and on. I'll say one last bill I'm also excited about is SB 1050. Think about, for instance, the descendants of Willa and Anna Bruce, so that Black American couple who owned a beach resort in Manhattan Beach. You know, a law firm was able to track down the descendants through genealogical testing, identified them. They were living in Florida, and the L.A. County sold that land back to them, right? And so under SB 1050, that would help people or families similarly situated as the Bruces, where if you had your family's land taken away via racially motivated eminent domain, that bill would allow you to get that land back, provide you compensation as an alternative. And then one last bill, SB 1007, most of these bills have been introduced by State Senator Stephen Bradford, who also served on the task force with me. He was very inspired by his work on the task force, as you can see, with all these substantive bills that I'm naming. But the last one I'll mention from him is SB 1007, and that would provide property tax relief to descendants of slaves and formerly redlined communities. So in conclusion, you know, I think the most exciting bills is SB 1403 that would create that new state agency, you know, paying homage to the Freedmen's Bureau that once existed in this country. But then you also have AB 3152. That would create that new tax on products historically tied to slave labor, and giving that money for education and housing loans. You have SB 1007, as I said, that would provide that property tax relief. SB 1013, that would provide those housing payments, and I can't forget SB 1332, which would create that new state fund.
Okay, so let me ask you this, because it was proposed to us to endorse a bill 490 that was supposed to be designed to create the panels or the committees to do the research to determine eligibility. I haven't heard anything more about that bill. So is the 1332 taking its place?
No, yeah. Thank you for that clarification, actually. SB 490, that it got a new number. It's now SB 1403. So that's the bill that would create the new state agency. So if you were asked to support SB 490, the new number is 1403.
Okay, that makes sense. Let me intercede to say this. We were anticipating you, but we didn't know when, and we have a wonderful opportunity for one of our local artists to do some what they call spoken word, but it's actually poetry in motion toward upholding our people. And she has a special piece that she wanted to do for the men in our group. So I'm wondering if you're open-minded to receive that when she comes on?
Oh, yeah. Oh yes, absolutely.
Okay, so when she comes on, Tim will let us know, and then we'll allow her to speak her piece, and then we'll open up the line for
Marvell,
our panelists. Yes, sir.
We have her on. Flo Etic.
I'm here.
Okay, so Marvell, go ahead and introduce your guest spoken word artist.
Right. Well, okay. I'll be brief. I'll be terse about it, but I'll be thorough and let you know that in Sacramento there's a lot of talent and a lot of information being shared through and messaging through poetry and through other means. That this is a young lady who is at the top of the list of being able to deliver a message through poetry and do it in a way that's entertaining, enlightening, and raising the spirit. Her name is Marguerite, known as Poetic Butterfly. And she has a piece for us today for the men. So please proceed.
Okay. Hello, everybody. This poem is called Love Letter to the Black Man from the Black Woman. When I speak this poem, I speak on behalf of all the black women for our black men. It's called, I said Love Letter to the Black Man. Anyway. If this world were mine, I said, if this world were mine, I'd rebuild the black man and undo the damage caused by the man's hands and help him to understand that he is God's dominant creation, the first builders of civilization, and also to comprehend that the formation of America was attained by the very same hands you built pyramids with that are worshipped in Egypt. I'd help you to understand that your life was just the script of the best lies, not only told but also written, in order to keep the vigorous core of you hidden, to keep the dominion of you stricken. They changed the game when they changed your name and made your freedom forbidden, programmed and brainwashed to submit instead of fight, and said your skin was a curse. They said your skin was a curse. In deceit you were immersed until those lies became truth, because over and over and over again they've been rehearsed. But black man, I'd reach inside the confinements of your mind and shift all of that deception into reverse. I'd make you a king and place you back into the birthright of what you were given, your inherited position, and bring into fruition the mindset of a ruler and give death to the acquisitioned mindset of a slave. Instead of being cradled to the grave, you'd be embraced into the existence of life with your head not bowed low but held high, because your being was made to silhouette the sky, shedding the disguise of true lies and go from being ignorant to being wise, realizing that you are the true prize. Black man, I'd help you suppress all that mess. And just like in the game of chess, I'd be that queen. Call me. Just call on me, and I will answer. And I'll be that answer that frees you from the entrapments of your intelligence, then embellish it with nothing but truth and goodness, and remind you that your strength is not a weakness, but in all fairness, it's your greatest gift. So use it to give the oppressor a swift kick in his ish. You were born with the mind of a genius. It's time to come back with a vengeance and veto that sentence of imprisonment. And real queens will be by your side, ride or die. Black man, unplug from the matrix and rise. Black man, rise, rise. Real queens by your side, side. Black man, rise. Rise, real queens by your side, side, black man, rise. Thank you.
Ashe.
Need I say anything?
Ashe.
Is anything needed to be said? Wipe your tears, gentlemen. Because that is an appeal to our majesty. I know I'm wiping the wells of mine, because that is precisely what we're moving towards. So it's very apropos that we had that piece. Miss Moore, I hope you agree that that was apropos that we have that piece on the subject that we're talking about now, because we're all in tandem and all in harmony about what the goal is. So I don't know. Y'all guys, hey, I don't know if she's still on, and I don't want to make a lot of noise. How do we let's do the you know, the other thing. Not the applause, but do this one here.
Woo-hoo, yeah.
I'm opening all lines right now. I'm opening all lines. Maybe someone would like to say something before we continue with our guest speaker, Ms. Moore. First of all, Butterfly, I appreciate you for all you do for our community. I appreciate you for your business senses, and I appreciate you for being a queen to the kingless, you know. So a lot of men don't know their king. They still stuck in, you know, what the world defined them as. But you have put this piece out there that if they didn't know they was a king, they should know now. Thank you, sweet. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes, I did. Snapping. I'm snapping my fingers if anybody can hear me. This is Miss Chocolate in the poetry world. Snap, but I'm snapping. I'm snapping. Yes, queen. I digress.
Thank you. You know, that poem actually came, it was a request of a black man. He asked me to write something because he felt like black men didn't feel like they had the support of their black woman. And he asked me to write that to the tune of Luther Vandross, If This World Is Mine. So I also do have a singer that sings that part of Luther's song to go along with the poem. And every time our black men hear that poem, I mean, they want to hear it every day. They're so grateful for that, and they feel empowered. And I am very grateful to be able to write a piece like that that let our black men know that we have their backs, and that we believe in them, and that they're strong, and they just have to remember that and continue to move forward in that way, that they are truly kings.
Right on.
Yes.
Well, thank you. I accept my crown. I'm accepting my crown.
Yes, you should.
Hello?
Yes. Is that Ms. Moore?
Butterfly. Can I? No. Do you have the IG page?
I do. It's a Floatician. It's the word flow is spelled FLOE, and then TICIAN.
Ashe.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Oh, okay,
and
go ahead, Dan.
And so if you're just now tuning in, you're listening to the Wise Words of One Gone Show, we're talking about reparations. And the topic I put today was, do we deserve reparations? I don't think y'all understand what this is. It's not do we deserve it. It's a debt that's owed to us. It's a debt that is owed to us. So, yeah, we deserve it. But I want to know from you all, I'm going back to the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
Yes, sir. Okay, before we move completely away, Poetic Butterfly is sponsoring a open mic this Thursday at, guess where? The Florence Square Mall. Guess where else? In the Digital Cafe, the newly build established digital cafe. I'm enjoying every time I go in there. I'm enjoying that new addition to the Florence Mall. It's going to blow that mall up because it's a beautiful place and it's a warm place to be, and it's got all the things that's needed for entertainment to be experienced, and it's a great venue. So she sponsors something. I'm not sure how to, I don't recall if it's 8 o'clock to 10 or if it's 7 to 9, but on this Thursday you can participate in that venue and in that event, on the 11th Thursday, I guess is it 7 to 10, 7 to 9, or 8 to 10?
Okay, so it's every second. Can you? Am I on?
Yeah, you're on.
Okay. So the first one is this Thursday, and it's from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. It's called Poet Out, because as poets, we pour from the inside. We have open mic. We have a dope feature, and this is going to be every second Thursday of each month, and it's from 8 to 10 p.m. at Town Square.
Right on. You can get your tickets through Evan Bright, or you can gain your entry at the door. Either way, we anticipate seeing you for this particular presentation. So let's support the mall. Let's support the cafe. Let's support poets and the spoken word artists. And let's support our building community. Now, thank you very much for that. So now, back to our agenda, which is discussing not whether we deserve it. Let's say, I say it like Joe, our OG Joe say, we don't just deserve it, we've earned it. And we're continuing to demonstrate our ability to be compensated for all that we contribute even now in this country. So there's no question about the debt. There's no question about it. It's all the questions are being posed. I saw some excerpts yesterday that says 68% of white America is against reparations, right? 68%, and 77% of black Americans are for it. So what that disparity shows that there's still this blockage of consciousness that needs to be raised. So that's why we're moving toward getting a groundswell grassroots movement. And I'm going to tell you, Ms. Moore, I'm gonna be candid with you about something. I've been talking about this since I heard about it. And I've been talking with some operatives that are here that represent the CJEC and volunteering to push to get the consciousness risen in our areas and in our neighborhoods so that we can have a momentum. And it hasn't developed. So at the last meeting that was shared here, that was held here last week for the local reparations, I told the operative that I've had to take it, go out of pocket. I'm going to make sure that we start developing some means of presenting this movement and presenting the opportunity for people to pour into it by putting up billboards, placards, radio, whatever means that we have. I'm going to do that on my own, because I've been not really responded well to by the people that I thought I would be at a league with. So I'm going to let you know that now. And I also would like to share that if you have any knowledge of how to tap into a resource that would help us be able to do that, we'd appreciate that as well, because we've been struggling trying to get this message out from the grassroots. And it's been kind of difficult getting the cooperation of the agencies that are already involved.
And I just wholeheartedly agree. You know, my mother, who, you know, is, you know, my counsel in so many ways, you know, she sounds just like you. And we have these conversations all the time, you know, about we need to get the word out. We need to get the word out. We're working hard. We're even trying to plan a rally sometime in June up at the Capitol, trying to, you know, bus people out from all across the state. So, you know, and I've met people from all across the state. And so, you know, I'm here, you know, so let's work, you know. We're on air. Let's commit. Let's work together to get this, the word out through the grassroots and work our connections.
Okay, so when you say that, I'm curious to know what kind of leverage do you think we could operate from? Because as I said, I'm going to go out of pocket. I have a sister in Cleveland, Ohio, who is expert at creating banners and means of advertising, you know, through that method. And I'm going to go out of pocket with her and have her send me at least 10 of those banners And I'm trying to figure out what the wording would be right now. That's the only thing that's stopping us right now is my wording. And I'm going to incur the cost and do the push and use the networks that we have, the men group and the youth groups that we work with, because we work with a lot of men, we work with a lot of youth groups, and we work with a lot of organizations, and use that as a lever to pull to push this movement. But I'm hearing you say that you agree, but I'd like to also hear you say that you know of a resource that will help done effectively, and of course that means we need some funding.
Right. And so I'm working on identifying funding sources, but for instance, for Martin Luther King Day in LA, one of the major parades, me and a contingent of just everyday people that I've met throughout this process over the 2 years, we had an official entry into the parade, and our contingent was all about reparations. So we had bought flyers and banners, that had the mule on it, 40 acres and a mule. A debt was promised. We had some MLK quotes. We had QR codes to scan to a website that I'm hosting called CaliforniaReparations.info. If you go to CaliforniaReparations.info, you'll be able to subscribe to the mailing list where I send out updates about, this legislation and things like that. We had a contingent. We got the word out on live television. We even were even working hard to try to actually get an actual mule. We went all the way out to Compton, to Compton Cowboys, to figure out how we could get a mule. But that's neither here nor there. I'm just saying that we're committed. And in part that also includes, reaching out to folks, sources, reputable sources for funding. Absolutely.
Mr. Marvell, sure. I'm looking at the switchboard, and we have a lot of people that have joined us. Just want to acknowledge them. Don't want them to think that we're not putting them on right now, but I know you're doing a Q&A, so I would like to take over just for a moment because I can see the board. I see you still in the car, We have Ms. Moore on about reparations, and I know you've been going from L.A. to Sacramento to a lot of places about the reparations. Please introduce yourself and say good morning to Ms. Moore.
Madam Chair, top of the morning to you. Tell Queen Mother Moore I said hello. This is Reggie, and I've been following you ever since I heard about it. I think the first time I saw you was in Oakland, me and Donnie. And I just want to tell you right now, I salute you. I give you all your roses right now, Queen, because you did a damn good job. You held it down. It got a little heated up in there, and we had to calm everything down, everything. But let me put that behind. But for my question, too, let me just ask you this. This is going to have to come down to the government. When are we going to get a formal apology from the government? And I yield.
Oh, hello. Nice to hear your voice, and thank you for the call. And excellent question. That is one of the bills, two or three of the bills that the COBC introduced are related to formal acknowledgement. And then they have a bill that would be a formal apology that builds on the formal acknowledgement. And so the bill that's related to the formal acknowledgement of the state of California's role in crimes against humanity against African slaves and their descendants, because one, California did have slavery. California also implemented a fugitive slave law, which is very rare for free states. And so that bill is called SCR 135. And there's an assembly companion bill to that as well. And fortunately, on that assembly bill companion that was introduced by assembly member Dr. Akila Weber, it actually passed through the committee unanimously, and so now it's on its next phase. That bill, the first bill that is intended to be a formal acknowledgement, is definitely on track to pass. Now I'm going to pull up the information related to the formal apology, because there's the CLBC strategy was first we need to get the state to acknowledge what they've done, and then we need to get the state to formally apologize for what they've done. So that's why it's like a two-part kind of process. So ACR 135 and SCR 135 are the acknowledgement bills, and they have both passed through the first committee. Now, the formal apology bill is called AB 3089, introduced by Reggie Job Sawyer, Assemblyman, and it would issue a formal apology for human rights violations and crimes against humanity on African slaves and their descendants. Now, anybody, just a quick educational piece, because this is how I track the bills, anyone can go to legiscan.com, so that's L-E-G-I-S-C-A-N, and you can track any bill in the state of California or from any state in the country. What I do is, you know, you on the left panel, you click the state, so I pick California, and then I search reparations, and then that'll pull up all of the reparations-related bills in California. And so the latest update I got from LegisCan was this morning, and for the apology bill, AB 3089, it was formally introduced to the Assembly Judiciary Committee on the 3rd, so it should be getting a hearing soon. Sorry, that was a long answer.
No, I love it.
But there's progress being made on the acknowledgement and apology.
Hey, so realistically, we know that at the end of the day, when it comes down to the 40 acres or the land that they owe us, that would have to be from the government, right?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. And so I thank you for them questions. I got Brother Wally that's been waiting patiently to say good morning to Ms. Moore and the rest of our listeners worldwide. Brother Wally.
Yeah, top of the morning. Good morning, my sister. May God reward you for your good endeavors. And we just, you know, we deserve reparation. You know, see, under H.R. 40, under that act, you know what I'm saying, our people been brutalized, our people been misled, our people been up under trauma, they've been under everything, under the sun. So we've been with this movement, me and Big Money, we've been on this movement. We've been under this movement since 35 years, you see. So we've been really trying to, you know, spearhead this reparation movement because our people need to come together. That's our problem. Once we come together, they'll really give us reparation to us. So it ain't no. So we have to continue to keep this divine movement going because our people deserve reparation. Our people deserve homes, all walks of life. They deserve everything under the sun because this system got the blood on their hands. They done treated us bad. They ain't never gave us what we deserve. You know it. They on jobs, when we go to work and all that, they undermine us. If we go buy a car, they undermine us. If they go buy a home, they undermine us. They don't never treat us right. We ain't never been, they ain't never been fair to, you know, African Americans. You see what I'm saying? They always deprived us of something. You see? So we have to have this movement. They owe us that debt. They owe us. See, it's bigger than an apology. It's bigger than that. It's bigger than all that. See, they owe, you know, African American descendants. You see? See, when you look at the 40 acres and the mule law, it's talking about a lot of science. It's talking about a lot of information that our people been denied. They've been denied of. You see what I'm saying? And our people before, you know, so this Bew agent account, legal problems, allowed his land free people as a result of the Black Code passed by the Southern legislation in 1865 and 1860. Some of the new lands prevented Black people from owning their own and leasing land. The free man, Buell, general treated Black people cold and violated basis on the federal legislation. However, the Buell was not always able to enforce interpretations after the Union Army substantial abolished. So they abolished our people. So under these laws. So the thing is, they owe us reparation. Now, You see what I'm saying? If we've been underpaid, if we've been treated every time we go anywhere, they're showing discrimination towards us, and we shouldn't have to go through that. See what I'm saying? The blood on their hands. I just wanted to say that. And God bless y'all, you know. So we're going to keep moving with this movement, the will of God. Thank you for listening.
Absolutely.
Thank you, brother. Okay, and so I have Brother Marvell, a few people from the Longmen Shore. I got it wrong, but the people with Bishop William on here, and so I will give you the mic on that. But we just want to make sure that we get all the information that we can from Ms. Moore and how we can support and what is our next movement is going to be the questions that we're going to ask. But we're going to come right back after this message. You're listening to the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. We'll be right back after these messages.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents You Healing Circle every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
You Healing Together.
2251 Lauren Road, Sacramento, California. Inside of Room 67, our Youth Healing Circle is a forum where we dive into discussions about drugs, bullying, school, and life skills. We provide a safe space and inform our youth
that sometimes it is okay to not be okay.
During our Youth Healing Circle, our youth may hear from other youth as well as experienced adults how to problem solve and navigate unforeseen complexities that we all run into in life. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. That's Room 67 every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For more information, text or call 916-889-0105. Let's heal together. Peace and blessings, King. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents
the Men's Healing Circle.
Brothers healing together.
Brothers healing together.
Join us every Wednesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, inside the Obama Room. The Men's Healing Circle is a place where men uplift, encourage, and inspire each other to be better through personal testimony, dialogue, self-reflection, self-improvement, and positive affirmation. Again, that's 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California, in the Obama Room. Come out and pledge to greatness with your fellow brother.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. What's up with it? Attention sack artists. You trying to get your music played? R&B, jazz, hip-hop, and comedy. Spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone at yahoo.com. That's DJONEGONE at yahoo.com. Make sure you give a call to 347-205-9722 or log on to blogtalkradio.com.
Hey, man, you got your fishing pole?
Got my fishing pole?
Yeah, man, we going fishing.
Man, I ain't going no fishing, man. I got this strap. These streets is hot.
Hey, man, you need to call Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence at 916-889-0105.
Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. It's brought to you by Wise Words of One Gone Show, and we can work it out in. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence. It's taking the guns out of our kids' hands and putting a rod and reel in them. We are located at 2251 Florin Road in South Sacramento. That's Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. Join the crew and save a kid. You know how we do.
Without further ado, I have our host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson, with all of our guest speakers coming right behind him. Mr. Marvell Wilson.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I just want to acknowledge that when we play these commercials, we're actually appealing to the local people to to participate with all of the venues and all of the opportunities to share your talent and to support your people in these endeavors. So we're looking for the youth healing group to increase. We're looking for the men's healing group to increase. We're looking for the Florence Square Mall to become the hub for every black movement that takes place in this city, because it's right now it's the only one that pours into that premise. Now back to Ms. Moore, I would just like to say that I really appreciate you sparing the time to be here with us today. I don't know what your timetable is, if you're going to stay the duration or not, but we appreciate you sharing your time and your information up until this point. Still, though, what's lingering in my mind I'll just put it to the floor. If anyone has any more questions for Ms. Moore on the reparations movement, please do so, because then thereafter the longshoremen in Oakland, which quite frankly I saw the California case for reparations on that telecast, there was an allusion to the shores of Oakland and talked about how that is comprised of mostly African Americans who make it, who run it, and who have such a big, it's a big place for a lot of the majority of the shipping that takes place happens at that, on that shore, and people have concerns existing about how the union doesn't act and how the black people are not acknowledged and how cases are not being heard and things of this nature. So I would like to get into that just briefly, but I would also like to ask if anyone has any more questions about the reparations movement for Ms. Moore before we move on.
I'm opening up the phone lines, and I got Big Money Grip that finally got on. Big Money.
All right. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Ms. Moore, what is your message in regards to how we can get reparations?
I say this in many different, spaces. People think, for instance, where the popular belief amongst white folks in mainstream society, right, is that white people freed, us from slavery, right, or granted us our rights during the civil rights movement. And that's obviously contrary to the case, right? We freed ourselves from slavery. We made the institution of slavery untenable, right, so unsustainable, either through, slave rebellions, ordinary resistance on the plantation, running away, fighting in the Civil War, speaking of black men being on the front lines, right? The Civil War would not have been won without, black American men's contributions, right? And so we freed ourselves from slavery, right? We in the Civil Rights Movement, our ancestors laid, and many people who are living today, laid their lives on the line, sacrificed so much for us to be at least treated as, full citizens, at least on paper, right? In fighting for and securing, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Voting Rights Act of 1965. And so the same is going to be the case for reparations, right? We're in this third reconstruction. In this third reconstruction, right? After slavery, it was the first, it was short-lived. Civil rights, right after civil rights movement, you had affirmative action that was intended specifically just to be for black Americans who descend from slaves. That was short-lived, right? And now we're in this third kind of reconstruction, after people say the racial reckoning of, what happened after the untimely murder of George Floyd. And so, black Americans, we're going to have to secure reparations for ourselves. We're going to have to, no one's going to give us reparations. We're going to have to take it. We're going to have to, engage in this sacred political project. We have to finish a sacred political project on behalf of our ancestors. And reparations is not just for slavery. That is the core of our demand. But there is a demand for reparations for contemporary injustices and atrocities against us as well. And so, you know, California is the first state in the nation to introduce, you know, lineage-based reparations, all that legislation that I mentioned earlier in the call, right? We've beat the federal government in studying this issue and developing reparation proposals for this issue, and now we've beat the federal government in introducing legislation, reparations legislation. And so in order for us to win, we're going to need people to join the fight and push for all of these bills to pass. All 19 of these reparations bills currently in the California State Capitol in one aspect or stage of the process or another, we're going to need all of them to pass. Like I said, tomorrow the Freedmen Affairs Agency gets its first hearing at the Senate Judiciary Committee. I've been asked to formally testify at that hearing. It's at 1:30 p.m. at the Senate Judiciary Committee. People can send in letters to that committee today, right, demanding that they vote in favor of this bill. People can show up to the Capitol as well in support of this bill. You will have a chance to speak. So, you know, there's so many different ways that people can get involved, but join organizations like CJEC, Coalition for a Just and Equitable California. They have a mailing list. Go to my website, californiareparations.info, and subscribe to the mailing list. Follow me on social media, Camila V. Moore, across all social media accounts, and I promise to keep y'all updated, and we have a lot of exciting things on the way. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, we would like to have a reparations study bill on the ballot, since all that work has been done for the last 3 years. And we just think it's an insult to our intelligence to not have a website on the ballot for the state of California, since we know that the California Democratic Party has supported reparations last year down in Los Angeles. And we just think it's an insult to our intelligence to not have it on the ballot. Why isn't reparations on the ballot for Black African Americans? I mean, all that work that we've done, it seems to be for naught. And to know that we got 80 senators in the Senate that have to approve it for the 14 bills that you're talking about, and 40 Republican senators. We just want to know how many senators is in the Senate that are Republican. How many senators? I mean, how many assembly people are Republican in the assembly? And aren't those the people that we have to target that are Trumpsters that we have to target? And why can't we have it on the ballot? I mean, to me, we should be able to show how we feel, since that video that Marvell talked about that he saw and I saw, where it was so favorable in terms of a survey for people who support reparations. And now that we have the California Democratic Party that supports reparations, which is primarily white, and if we go to all of the victims, and I want to emphasize victims in the United States, let alone in California, when we talk about the restaurants where they don't want their people on the sidewalk because they're afraid that they're going to be stolen from, or go to the jury marks, because we know that the jury marks have been victims in terms of us stealing out of there, busting and grabbing. And when we go to the 7-Eleven and different stores, why don't we go to the victims and get their opinion about, would you want to your business, your restaurants, or would you want them to continue to steal from your people that are sitting out having lunch or dinner? I mean, it's a no-brainer. And I don't know why we don't do something like that. We have to work smarter instead of harder. When you say take it to them, that to me is taking it to them. We should be able to pay an individual who can pull up YouTube.com and go to the Compton sports stores that's been ripped off 7 or 8 times this past year and ask them, do you want them to come in here and rip you guys off anymore? Or do you want to shut down? I'd rather they come in and buy these shoes and stuff than to rip us off to where we have to shut down. We've had a lot of stores in California that have to be shut down, and we shouldn't have to do that. We've never been known to be criminals. We're turning our young kids into being criminals, Camilla, and I just think it's an insult to our intelligence to continue to let this kind of thing go on and control these people. And they seeing how the Democrats are letting them come across the border, getting in the hotels, motels, Holiday Inns, and getting free medical and free dental. Why can't we ask these Republican senators, why can't we ask these Republican assemblymen, how mad are you in letting these people come across the border and do this? We know what their answer is going to be. They're going to be irate. And now we say to you, to them, you know, do you like Dr. Martin Luther King? Yeah. Well, if you like Dr. Martin Luther King, Dr. Martin Luther King once said, I want you to judge my daughters by the content of their character, not by the color of their skin. And thus far, we've been judged by the content of the color of our skin. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm saying to you, Camilla, is that we need to have a reparations study bill on the ballot. What is in the study bill that of the 14 different bills that you talked about, are they in the study bill as well?
Well, AB 3121 was the legislative bill that created the task force to study and develop reparation proposals for African Americans. That passed through the state assembly and the state senate. That was a bill that was introduced by then assembly member Shirley Weber. Now she's California's first African American Secretary of State. She's the one who introduced the study bill, the reparation study bill, and she was able to get it passed flying colors through both the state assembly and the state senate, and Governor Newsom signed that bill in 2020. That created the task force that I, applied to be on, I got appointed to, became the chair of. And so we've done and completed the study phase. On top of that, we've completed the development of the reparation proposals phase. Our official role to the state legislature, we were a legislative advisory body. So our responsibility was to formally advise the state legislature on the types of reparation proposals that they should turn into legislation. So we finished our work June 28th, 2023, and thus far you have the CLBC and Senator Bradford introducing over 19 bills. Most of these bills are going to go through the normal legislative process. So you need at least 41 assembly members to vote yes on any of these given bills. That's the minimum. And you need 21 senators, state senators, to vote yes on any given bill. And then you need the governor, obviously, to sign it. So most of these bills are going to just go through that normal legislative process, are not going to go on the ballot, like the creation of a new Freedmen Affairs agency, the bill that would give us money to buy new homes and to keep our homes. That's not going to go on the ballot. The bill to get your land back if it was stolen via eminent domain or get cash as an alternative, that's not going to go on the ballot. The creation of a new state reparations fund, that's not going to go on the ballot. The only two bills that the CLBC has introduced as part of their reparations bill package that's going to be on the ballot are ACA 7 and ACA 8. And quick note, when you see ACA, that means constitutional amendment. The only legislative bills that get to the ballot are bills that would amend the Constitution. So ACA 7 would amend the Constitution to allow race-based affirmative action, because as you all know, race-based affirmative action has been illegal in this state for 30 years in the areas of contracting, education, and employment. that ACA 8 would amend the Constitution to no longer allow forced labor or slavery in prisons, right? Because currently our Californian Constitution allows that. So thank you actually for Big Money Griff for kind of raising that, because it allowed me to kind of clarify some things. So most of these bills that I talked about, just going to go through the normal legislative process, needs at least 41 state assembly members, 21 state senators, and then the governor to pass it. The only two that are going to go on the ballot, if the state assembly and the state senate approve it, are ACA 7 and ACA 8, those bills that would amend the California Constitution to allow race-based affirmative action, and to no longer allow forced labor in prison.
Gotcha. All right, Ms. Moore, I had mentioned earlier that we have some callers from Oakland and from other states who have a concern about the situation with the longshoremen. And I hope you can see the correlationship between what's going on currently with what we're hoping to develop in the future with the reparations movement. And I guess the question is, for people who have been struggling with legislation for the federal government, longshoremen under their contract and their agreement with the federal government and their labor union, they've been slighted. Should they not fight anymore and wait for reparations, or should they continue to launch continue their struggle and launch their effort to get what's wrong with their system that they're working up under? Mm-hmm. And if so, if you agree that they should continue to fight, I would like to know, you being an attorney and being in the realm of having a not working knowledge of how to proceed, could you help them understand what they need to do to have their rights reestablished?
Well, yes, thank you for that question. And I think when you were telling me about that story, it reminded me of something that's actually been in the news recently. It's a court case called Monk v. United States. And it was brought by a group of black veterans working with the Yale Law School's student clinic. And they are suing the VA, essentially saying that, you know, they discriminated over time against black veterans and denying them a whole host of different benefits, right? Housing benefits, education benefits, loan opportunities, you name it. And fortunately, this the judge actually dismissed the VA's motion to dismiss. The VA filed a motion to dismiss on technical and procedural grounds, really pretty much saying that they were immune from prosecution. And the judge actually dismissed that motion, which is one of the this is essentially a reparations case for black veterans. And it's one of the only, you know, reparations cases that have survived a motion to dismiss. And so that means that the black veterans have another opportunity. They can live to fight another day, and that's what they'll be doing. And, you know, the judge even cited that, you know, the black veterans subpoenaed, or, you know, what they could do, you know, file a public information request asking to get data, right? This is what they did for the VA. They asked the VA to produce data of how they gave out benefits and who they gave out benefits to, right? So that they can make the case that the VA has historically discriminated against black veterans and denied them in benefits. But the VA didn't want to do that. They didn't want to produce that data, right? And so they, you know, even filed a motion to dismiss. And so basically I'm saying that, you know, this is a positive news, you know, for people who are similarly situated as black veterans. So even like, you know, people in black labor, labor unions, right? You can, you know, look for that data from these companies, from these corporations, demand that data, study that data to make a well-grounded claim. Like, this is not all in our heads, right? We're not just making this up. This is a pattern and practice of discrimination, and reparations are owed for it. We're seeing, you know, these strategies be successful.
Mm-hmm. I see.
And that's what the California Reparations Task Force is based off of. We compiled data and evidence over the course of the 2 years to substantiate all of our proposals.
I see. And so we have Ms. Christina on here. Christina, can you say good morning to our host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson, and Ms. Camilla Moore. Good morning, Ms.
Good
Christina.
Morning.
Good morning.
So, Brother Marvell, I have Bishop Williams as well on, and they're here for the Longshoremen's conversation. So did you want me to open up all the lines, or how did you want me to proceed?
Well, I thought that either Paul or the other brother I spoke to, who have the case that they've been struggling with, to get on, to outline what their circumstances are and get some advice on the course of action. So it's either going to be Paul or I forgot the other brother's name, gosh, but. One of them could give a briefing on what the overview of the situation is, and then we can go from there.
Don't see any of them numbers, but I know Christina called because of Paul. And so, Christina, what do you know about this case? What do you know, and how do you fit in?
Is this message for Crystal?
Crystal, yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I was just literally bought into the committee. I just met Bishop Williams on Friday. So I'm not exactly clear in a direction as far as the longshoreman component. I did try to reach out to his son, Pastor Williams, because he's supposed to speak on behalf and of that topic. And I'm not sure is Bishop Williams on the line now, because I called him as well to let him know that we're waiting to talk on this particular topic. So I'm not very well versed in my role. I've just been taking notes and making sure I could relay the message back to the group. But that's as far as I know.
Well, how about Vincent? Is Vincent available?
I'm not sure who Vincent is.
Okay,
so
lengthy conversation with both Paul and Vincent the other day, and they were supposed to be on to give us some detailed information about what's going on there. So maybe we should just hear from Bishop Williams, his perspective.
Bishop Williams, yes. You are on live. You might be on mute, Bishop. Bishop Williams. Okay, we have First Lady of Radio, Miss Clarice, on. I just wanted her to say good morning to all the listeners, and she's a part of our panel. Good morning, First Lady.
Good morning. I'm going to be on mute. Because I'm in the hospital, you hear a lot of bells and stuff, but I'm listening to the program as long as I can.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Again, I'm looking for Bishop Williams to present the case while we have Ms. Moore on here so she can hear your humble cry. Bishop? Okay. So what we're going to do is we're going to move forward.
I'll reach out to him again. I don't know, maybe he doesn't understand and he's on mute. So let me try to reach back out to him.
Sounds good. And so you're listening to the Wise Words of One Gone Show. I have another caller from the 4544 number. I just wanted you to say good morning and let the people know who you are and that you're listening. 916 844. Good morning to you.
Good morning. My name is Vaughn Johnson. I'm a local community advocate. I did work for T-Mobile, being the phone guy, handing out phones, and I decided to move on from that, and now I'm just working on getting my own nonprofit up and running. And like
Thank
I said,
you,
I
Brother
just love
Vaughn.
Working with the community.
Thank you, for Brother Vaughn. I appreciate you calling in, Brother Vaughn. I met Brother Vaughn a couple of years ago, and we'd done some work together, and I appreciate Brother Vaughn listening in to the show. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio with your host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. We're going to continue to move forward. Whenever we get that call in from Bishop, we will transcend into his call. But right now, I see Mama Chocolate. Mama Chocolate, you are online. What did you hear in all that you heard from Miss Moore and all the other callers? Miss Chocolate, what did you hear and what did you retain?
Hello?
Yes,
I can,
yes.
Well, I was I'm multitasking, so I'm on the, I have you guys on my phone and on my laptop, so I'm in and out.
Okay, all right, we'll let you go today. I hear you, and I hear you. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show. Ed, Mr. Marvell, I'm going back to you, and we can continue. With the show. I know Big Money Grip, I got to bring him back into the fold along with Brother Y. Lee. And so I'm going to open their phone lines up right now along with Double R and Mark the Disciple. All phone lines are open. Brother Sherman, yours is open. Every phone line is open, and let's continue to discuss the need for everyone to know what reparations is and why we deserve it. I'm going to tell you why. It's a debt that's owed. I'm going to pass the mic.
Let me do a moreover. And only thing, I have something to share that came to me. It was a revelation. And I don't know if everybody agrees, but my revelations come from God. When something is revealed to me that I have not contrived or had not thought of myself, then I know where it came from. And the only thing I ask about what I'm getting ready to share is that you not forget where you first heard it. And that is that reparations, well, the word reparations is just it's really a catchphrase. Reparations is not just a request for our equity and what's owed. Reparations is a declaration of a group of people who are relinquishing their thoughts and their conclusions that they have dominion
again
over us. That's what I said. That it's really a conceding to the fact that we are not 3/5 human. We are 100% human. The perception of otherwise has been what we call an indoctrination. People have been indoctrinated to think that way, and thus we've been indoctrinated to react as such. And it doesn't help that we keep endorsing their indoctrination by showing lower animal behavior and allowing our emotions to overrule our ability to rationalize. You ever heard the term uppity? Uppity. That means someone, to me, that means someone who is demonstrating an ability to critically think, make good decisions, and be reasonable, and be forthright, and be show righteous indignation for things that are not to a human being. They call those kind of blacks uppity, because they're standing outside of the realm of their belief that we are lower animals and they have dominion over us. And that indoctrination even cascades into people coming here from other countries. They come here And then indoctrination pervades because they think that we're a resource to draw from, but they don't want to recognize us for anything else but just being a resource. Hook or crook. You ever heard that term before? Well, that term, if you're a fisherman, which my brother is, and I have another brother that's an excellent fisherman, you use the hook, but you put a lure on the hook to trick the fish. So when the fish sees the lure, they don't see the hook. But when you bite on the hook, they're caught. Inescapable. Locked in. So they use hooks with lures, or they use crook, which is any kind of diabolical scheme, any kind of treachery, any kind of ruse to keep us a resource. Because clearly we have not been declared other than three-fifths human. And what we're declaring is 100% humanity, and that's what we want them to concede to. So that's, to me, that is the challenge, beating these indoctrinations down to the reality. They've been indoctrinated to think, because we look at Karens. Now we're seeing these people they call Karens, and they are demonstrating clearly that they think they have dominion over us, and they can question anything that we do and expect an answer, whether we have the right to do it or not. They think we're stepping outside of the bounds of our less than humane existence by doing things that they don't approve of or that they don't think is in their best interest. So I'm just clearly making it my proposition that reparations is not just an effort to get equity. It's not just an effort to get money. It is an effort to balance out the misconception about our humanity in this country.
Ashe. And so we have Bishop Williams on. We're going to bring him on. But Mama Chocolate had her hand up, so let her say what she has to say, and then we're going to go to Bishop right after that. Mama Chocolate.
Yes. I just wanted to say that you need a street team. What I mean by that, I heard Brother Mybell saying flyers, and you know what way can we get it out? You need a group of young people that are willing to put their boots to the ground. You know, because the our youth are the future, so they need to be involved in the politics, knowing what's going on in the world. And then having them also, you know, put their boots to the ground. I got one more thing to say too. The social media platform is one of the biggest ways. And so if you had someone on Instagram, on YouTube, you know, to go to those platforms and create something. Our reparations Instagram platform, our reparations YouTube platform, have someone to do that to get the word out. Twitter to get the word out. It will be heard. And I know that when we hit the streets in Sacramento, the police, they look at us as angry individuals. It's not that we're angry. You know, we are advocates and we stand our ground on what we believe in. And so that's what intimidates them. But we still need to be in the forefront. I digress.
Thank you. That's it. Okay.
Ashe. And so we have our caller, Bishop Williams, on. Bishop, are you there still, sir?
Yes, I'm here.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then I have another caller right behind you from the 510. Don't know who that is. Can you introduce yourself from the 510?
Yeah, this is Paul Williams. This is Bishop Williams' son.
All right, I got both of them on. All right, so Mr. Marvell,
yeah,
there it is. I have everybody locked in. I will put a couple of mutes in, and There it is.
All right, so Bishop Williams, I'm glad that you were ready to stand in the gap to give us some information, but I'm anticipating that Paul, now that he's available, will be able to help give Ms. Moore a clear understanding of what it is we're seeking in remedy for the concern.
We have background disturbance. I hear a TV, radio, or something in the background. If you could cut that down and so we can clearly hear our guests on this line. There's some background disturbance that I can hear, and I please and thank you.
I was cut off early. I would like to say a few words, just a few words, before you get to my son. If I can, I'll speak maybe tomorrow, but I want to speak to the issue that on some of what the people have been talking about, even the lawyer, you understand what I mean? Because a lot of people talking, they don't know what reparation is. I have the proof, all of the proof of reparation, okay? And what I'm trying to do is file and get it in the federal court. I'm working to set up my own law firm right here in Oakland. Because I am a lawyer. I'm a power of attorney general for the state of California. Nobody don't know that. They don't recognize that. Nobody don't appreciate me and who I am, what I do enough. Okay? So I'm trying to set up my own law so I can work with other lawyers and other people. But I have the proof of reparation. And I like to explain one day on your show what reparation really is. And it's all through the Bible. Okay? It's from Genesis all the way up. I have the proof of all of that. It's in the Bible,
yes,
by scriptures. Okay?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because
we're looking forward to that session.
It's what all the thieves have done. You know what I mean? It's payback from all the thieves. Them here in the United States and them in the Bible. And they stole
yes,
the
sir.
Israelites. They stole the Israelites in Egypt. Put them in slavery for 400 years. Okay?
Wow. Yes, sir. But thank
well,
you
I'm
very
gonna,
much
I'm
for
gonna,
that.
I'm going to get on with y'all talking to Paul. Okay, my son.
Yeah, because Paul, we have the attorney here, and maybe Paul could get some direction from her if she's willing to share some information about what's going on with the longshoreman. So, Paul.
Okay.
Glad you can make it. In the meantime, we have a lot of distorting noises in the background. I'd appreciate whoever might be guilty of that to please mute their microphone so that we can get a clear presentation. Paul, are you there?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay, so we have a patient, Miss Kamala Moore here, that she's waiting to hear some information about what's going on with the longshoremen, and we're attempting to muffle all of the distortion so that she can clearly hear what the concern is, and so maybe she can pour in with some direction on how to proceed. So if you have something going on, please mute your microphone.
Yes, I think that's somebody else. But anyway, I would like to address right here on the West Coast, over 15,000 or more longshore men and women legitimate claims has been denied for over 30-something years because of the Dirty Dozen. Okay, the OLLAJ, that's the Office of Administrative Law Judges. Okay, we're dealing with the PMA, Pacific Maritime Association. We're dealing with also U.S. Department of Labor, SSA Terminals, and Kaiser, and Occupational Health, and also OSHA, and then some. And they also have a long story textbook to keep our cases pending. We also 85% African-Americans down here on the waterfront. Yeah, Vince, you want to like say something, V?
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Good morning, and God bless everyone.
Listen to me. Listen to me. I want y'all to understand this real quick. I talked to Brother Marvell the other day, and I was just stating some facts. This is supposed to be a no-fault system that this about this long-short textbook in the industry, and they are into the seventh edition of this long-short textbook. That means every edition that they made already has been revised to undermine the injured worker that's going on down on the waterfront. I made the national news in 2016 for 3 days. 3 days. I had 340-foot containers come off the ship. One landed on top of my tractor. One landed on side of the tractor. One landed on side of the crane in the tractor that where I was at, and one landed 100 yards in the water in front of the ship. And I made the national news for 3 days. And ain't no way in the world you can sit up there and tell me that my claim has been controverted, or I set this up, or I did this on purpose, or I inflicted this. This is supposed to be a no-fault system. And ain't no way in the world my claim should be controverted. All they offered me was I only got paid for a total of 37 weeks of workman's compensation. And right now I've been trying to fight this case on my own for the last, when September comes, it'll be 8 years. Nobody should have to go through this. First of all, I'm physically hurt, but I'm more psychologically hurt than physically hurt, because the anxiety that of going to get, trying to get somebody to come to our aid, it don't make no sense. And all it is behind this longshore textbook, because all the parties that's involved in what's going on are conspiring to take our rights away as far as trying to get compensation.
Yes. Well, I want to say thank you for sharing that. And I was going to say that it's interesting that you said that the psychological harm seems to be more pervasive, because in that case that I was talking about earlier, Monk versus United States, that's the reason the judge cited that he was dismissing the VA's motion to dismiss and citing in favor of the black veterans allowing their case to proceed. He said, the court found the allegations of systemic racial discrimination and the resulting, quote unquote, dignitary, emotional, and psychological harm were sufficient for the case to proceed. The court's decision makes Monk versus the United States an important and landmark ruling as one of the few federal reparations cases to survive a motion to dismiss in U.S. history. And that just happened last week. And
wow.
So, you know, there's, you know, you can use this as leverage. Find other people, as you all have already done. You guys have organized, you know, a group of folks who've had a similar situation, all black. You know, that's an argument that you can hinge on, right? It's the psychological, the dignitary, the emotional harm as reason why you are old. What you are owed plus interest.
Can I interrupt you for one more second? I just, as a matter of fact, last week just got out of the hospital, had my second stent put in my heart because of the anxiety and the stress related not getting the proper maritime, supposed to be maritime help, or these attorneys that call themselves representatives. We got a federal job. This will be a federal job. And then here's my question to you as a lawyer. Who investigates the feds?
That's
answer
a
that
question. That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that, honestly, from the top of my mind. I was gonna say maybe other federal agencies investigate other federal agencies, but you know that obviously is not sufficient. To your point, yeah, who does investigate the feds?
What about the attorney general of the United States?
I done been to that entity already, and all they're doing is passing a buck.
The U.S. Attorney General, not your state attorney general, but the U.S. Attorney General, is that not an outlet to concern to pursue?
No, you know who Xavier Becerra is? He's on Biden's cabinet. Before my partner died, trying to find his own case, his rest in peace, Rob Williams. Me and Rob Williams went to downtown Oakland to the federal building and went up to his office and went to go file paperwork on him. And all they did was gave us paperwork to fill out, and we never did get a response from him.
You still have that paperwork though, as a receipt, correct?
I should. Well, it should be somewhere in my house. Yeah. It should be somewhere because
now it's looking like the written word. I mean, we can do the spoken word presentation, and we can lament, and we can do our, you know, file our complaints verbally. But it's now starting to look like we need to compile a lot of written word and propose that as a backdrop to what the remedy that has been avoided has to come too, right? Because I'm learning this more and more as I go on, that if you don't have it written down, it's not really real.
Yeah, documentation is very important.
Right, and I totally agree. We have all the documentation. And the one thing I would like to say is, how is it that all these other nationalities can get together and protest and everybody comes to their aid? Okay, why can't we just get back on the bus and go to Washington, D.C.? You remember that? Years ago, Farrakhan and all these African men, we always get together and go up to D.C. on the buses, bus loads, you know, and protest up there around the White House. And why we always got to be the ones that, why we can't cut through the red tape? You know, there's a lot of red tape going on. Hey,
listen,
that's where it's all coming from.
Listen to this. I want to light a match to a bomb real quick. Like I said, I think I mentioned to you when I talked to you the other day, Brother Marvell, was, you know, it's always a double standard when it comes to black and white. So you got to remember this. It ain't never been, and I'm going to say this again, it ain't never been black against white. It's always been white against black, and I want y'all to understand that. And that's why I'm trying to light this match, to get y'all to understand. This goes with the reparation thing and everything. It shouldn't take this long to get nobody for – people shouldn't have to fight to get reparations. Every other race don't have no problem getting any type of money. The people come across that border, they come in, they get money automatically. Why is it so hard for a black person to get money? Why is it so hard for a black person to get anything when they ask for it? We're not demanding it. They owe us this money.
Not only that.
For the people, this whole world has been built on the backs and the lives of black people, period.
Excuse me, this is Kenneth, but not only that, the creation, I'm talking about the things that we're still using, the walkie-talkie, the horse saddle was invented by us. I mean, there's
the lights you stop at, the three lights that you stop at when you drive.
Yes. So there's things that we created which we're still using. The doorknob that opened your door was invented by us. I mean, there's so much. There's a place in Redwood City that shows all the inventions we made, and you can go over there and see all the things that we invented that's still being used today. Including the suitcase, luggage was invented by us, air conditioning, everything. So there's a lot of creations that we invented that's still being used, and a lot of us don't even know that. But when we're asking for something, we're being
denied,
being left out, denied. So we just
all right, gentlemen. Okay, so gentlemen, let me intercede to say it's a good likelihood that you didn't hear. We had a break and prior to your coming on, and I did my analysis of why the answer to your questions, right? Because you're right. Necessity is the mother of invention, and we have been the father of inventions that have put this country where it is as a power. Because the only thing that they have that they invented was the gun to control everything. But everything else, for the most part, we're responsible for. So and I want you to hear this part. I contend that the reason why we have the challenge is because the indoctrination of their ideology that they have dominion over us.
Absolutely.
That the so-called the Bible says that man has dominion over all lower animals, and that's how we've been interpreted as being lower animals, and we're fighting for our acknowledgement for our humanity here. That's why reparations is an important movement, because we are fighting for them to acknowledge our 100% humanity rather than 3/5, right?
That
presentation earlier, and I want y'all
that's
to embody.
Correct.
And you say this. You want us to embody this. I want everyone to embody that. That's what reparations really represents. Is when we talk about an apology, we're just talking about an acknowledgement of our humanity, even though the indoctrination has been that we're less than and that we're a resource like some sort of pet, right?
Yes.
And so let it be clearly understood that when you ask that question, why they do what they do, is because they've been indoctrinated to think that we are less than and that they have dominion over us. Now, I also want to insert that one of the things that makes it difficult for that to change is that we sort of enhance that by some of our behaviors and some of our lack of willingness to not disallow anger and emotions to overrule our rationality that makes us appear to be lower, right? So that's why we constantly talk about moving together as a unit, putting aside those pettinesses and putting aside those things that are deter us from looking to the hills, to the goal collectively, and maybe we'll, when we get there, because see, reparations, and I'll say this and I'll stop. Reparations is merely a term. Reparations is not what we seek. We seek what we are owed and what we deserve and what we've earned, and we will then repair ourselves.
Absolutely correct.
Absolutely.
All right. Can I get in? Ms. Moore, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Yes, Ms. Moore, right quick. Answer this for me. Now, how is it and why, listen, another thing we're dealing with, it's a serious matter, our employer has a life insurance out on us that we didn't even know about. What you think about that? A life insurance. I've been there 20 years. I'm just not finding out.
Like Walmart employees, they don't know. They didn't know everybody that take a job as a Walmart employee. They automatically sign them up, put a life insurance policy on them.
And how can you dip in a $100,000 policy? Okay, and then now those who active, they would get $70,000, where they already done took $30,000 off the top. Now if you retired, okay, they took $70,000. So if you retired, you only get the family gets $30,000 if they know about it.
Yeah, they taking their cut off the top.
Thank you. And they just study and repeatedly treating us wrong. And it's been going on for years. And the Ninth Circuit.
Without our authorization. But let's go back to the main thing that's our focus as a longshoreman. Listen to me. Like you said from the Jump Street, Paul. And I want y'all to really understand this. Our main focus right now, which will open up the rest of the can of worms, is almost over 15,000 unanswered claims have not been validated, and it's by all these entities that make up this longshore textbook that are wrongdoing us. And listen to me, I've been fighting my case since 2016. It's 2024. Ain't no way in the world, and it's supposed to be a no-fault system, and ain't no way in the world you're going to sit up there and tell me you're going to offer me peanuts in a zillion-dollar industry. I ain't trying to say I'm up here. I want a zillion dollars. All I want to do is be treated fair, like just like if it was their own son, they'd be trying to get the most money they can possibly get for whatever claim it is. See, and the main thing is the main thing that's frustrating me more than anything when I go to watch TV and I see these commercials, car accident commercials, where these people getting millions of dollars, and the shipping industry is 100,000 times bigger than a car, and I was involved in that type of accident, and you mean to sit up here and tell me you want to offer me $200,000 and I made $140,000 a year, and you do the math, times 140 times 8 is over $1 million, and you only offer me $165,000 and $217,000. Do the math on that. What about What about the anxiety? What about the anxiety part of what I'm going through? I'm telling you, the stress has caused me to put 2 stents in my heart. I'm frustrated.
And it's well felt and well understood. So now let's just pause to allow our gifted attorney to respond to anything that she might be able to share as a referral now that we've thought about it. Because I said about the United States Attorney General, and anything short of that or anything greater than that, if it's available, Ms. Moore, Could you pour in and see if there's some course of action that you've concluded now that you've heard?
I want to say first, I hear and affirm what you are saying in terms of the harm that you guys have endured. I think that one good step is to look into that case that has just came down this past week that is allowing for Black veterans' claims to continue through the legal process, you know, the judge citing the dignitary and psychological harm was sufficient alone to allow for these men to continue to hear their case through the courts. Follow the groups that might be following this case, like the Black Veterans Project is an organization. The Black Veterans Project, they may have some referrals. I'm only saying that because my work is like around, you know, reparations, but like what I do for work as an attorney, I'm actually not a litigator. Maybe I should become one, but you know, there's generally 2 different types of attorneys. There's like a litigator, those that are in the courts, and then there's more attorneys that are more transactional and that deal with contracts and stuff like that. And so for the work that I do as an attorney, I'm an entertainment attorney. So I deal with entertainment contracts. But on the side, you know, I'm also a reparatory justice scholar and activist, and most of my work has been more in the political legislative avenue rather than, you know, strategic litigation. So I'm saying that my advice or even my knowledge, to be quite honest, about how best to proceed may be limited because of that. But, you know, I am following cases like Monk v. the United States, and so you know, I would even recommend, you know, looking into law clinics that are at some of these law schools in your area. You know, because it was law students at Yale that was able to get those Black veterans that victory. And so, you know, there's legal clinics, public interest legal clinics at UC Berkeley Law School, other law schools in the area. Maybe you should reach out to them as well. Them on game, inform them about this new case so they understand that, you know, there's some legitimacy, added legitimacy to the claim, and see if they can take up your project in their next, you know, legal clinic, things like that. But let's just stay connected because, you know, I want to learn more about this and be a resource.
Thank you very much for that. I got you on that. That makes sense. I didn't know what your full realm was as an attorney, and I'm finding that it's kind of aloof from what we're talking about. However, the legal clinic suggestion is a very powerful suggestion because you have a bunch of thirsty young folks working for you and working to achieve their goal at the same time. Now,
exactly.
I'm just wondering, Ms. Moore, you're not being in your wheelhouse. What do you think about Mr. Crump? Ben Crump.
Oh, I was just thinking him. I said Benjamin Crump would be an excellent person to reach out to. I was just thinking about his name. Thank you for that reminder. Yes, absolutely.
We've already reached out to Crump. Crump said he only do civil cases.
Well, here's the thing.
What would this case be? Like administrative or
here's the thing. People in his office, his colleagues and whatnot, they back up a lot. They don't even they don't get this message to him. They just put it to the side.
Oh, yeah, they're probably logged up.
Same way with Fannie Willis. I'm going to get Fannie Willis on board. Same way with Gerald Briggs. They end up getting out of Baltimore.
We're sounding kind of garbled right now, ladies and gentlemen. Someone has been ongoing with a lot of background distortion for a while, and we've attempted to work
Somebody must have an earpiece on.
Okay, so I just muted someone and it cleared it up. So also Double R has something that he wanted to say. He's had his hand up. If you'd like to speak, just push the number 1 and that'll allow you to speak. Double R, I know you've been in the car and you've been waiting to speak and I seen your hand up, so I want to recognize you as the board operator. Double R.
All right, thank you. Madam Chair, one question I'd like to ask you. There's a movement right now, and we're putting up no reparations, no vote. What do you think about if this legislation don't go through? Hopefully it do, but how about us blacks here in America can restrain from voting for these Democrats and Republicans? How do you feel about that? I yield.
I'm generally supportive of that. I mean, you know, we're hoping that all 19 of these bills pass, and the deadline for those bills to pass is August 31st, so that's actually, you know, a couple months, few months before the election. So, you know, that's a good point, you know. If these bills don't pass, you know, that could be a good leverage for even stronger legislation in the future, you know, so they can see the power of our vote. But yes, definitely being optimistic about these 19 bills, though, as well.
Okay, one more question. The UDHR, Universal Declaration of Human Rights, we know that that is more powerful than trying to do with civil rights. What do you think as far as us taking it globally if these bills don't get passed?
Oh, that's a good question. There's a group, an organization called the Lineage Equity and Advancement Project, and myself as an individual, we are participating in the United Nations Permanent Forum for People of African Descent. They're having a summit April 16th to 19th, so next week in Geneva, Switzerland. I'm actually not going to be able to go to Switzerland because I have some reparation seeking engagements here in the state, unfortunately, but there is a contingent of Black Americans through that organization called LEAP that will be going. Also, we're hosting a side event on Zoom for the UN Permanent Forum of African Descent, for people of African descent on April 12th. So if you just look up LEAP official, or if you go to UNPFAD, UN Permanent Forum for People of African Descent, and you look up side events, you'll see a whole calendar of events of people of African descent from the Caribbean to Latin America to the United States hosting events on Zoom leading up to when they're meeting in Geneva. And so I'm doing a side event on Zoom with LEAP where we're educating folks about what we're doing in California for Black Americans. And we also submitted a formal letter to the UN this Sunday, you know, spreading awareness about what we're doing in California, saying African Americans need official recognition as an ethnic group, and, you know, saying that we want the UN to formally recognize what we're doing in terms of fighting for reparations for us. So We're working all angles that we can, you know. So thank you for that question.
Yeah, one more thing, one more. I'm going to yield after this one. We have all these different reparation task force around the United States. Are you helping them to get the ball rolling in their states as well? Are you?
I am in communication, for instance, with, you know, the chair of the Illinois State Reparations Commission. So there's three states with official commissions. California, we're the first. We're completely done now. So, you know, the other two states that are still actively having commissions, well, the other state is Illinois. So there's someone named Roger Elion, you know, giving him advice. I'm not too connected with the people in New York, but they haven't actually started their commission yet. They just appointed folks. And, you know, to a certain extent, I have been, you know, been reached out to. I've reached out to these different commissions popping up across the country in different cities and counties. But I do want to be more of a resource, and so I'm looking forward to being more coordinated in my outreach in the near future with these different commissions. But I have had communications with quite a few, like New Jersey. They don't have an official state commission, but they actually created like a external commission because the state legislature just wouldn't pass it. So they're like, we don't need the state legislature. We're going to create our own commission. And so it's a commission of community-based organizations studying it. I've been in communications with them. I've been in communications with the city of Atlanta. Well, Fulton County, they have a reparations commission. I testified to Washington, D.C. City Council. They are coming up with their own reparations commission. So, yeah, over the past year or two, I've had a lot of communications with these commissions. But, yeah, thank you.
Great. Thank you for all your work. Thank you. Thank you for your work. Appreciate you. Yeah.
Thank you,
Double R, for bringing
that to the car. Bringing that to the car, Double R. Hey, so I muted everyone. We only have 2 minutes left. Mama Chocolate said, play Brother by Angie Stone. We're going to leave out with that. You know, I stay on an extra 30 minutes because after talking about all this, I need the word from God, right? Me, myself. And if you want to join me, just ride after the 11 o'clock hour. We'll ride about 30 minutes because I'm going to court for a youth today, and hopefully they'll release him to our program so we can mentor him to be a better person for himself, right? And so I'm going back to the host with the most. We have 2 minutes left. Marvell, it was a great session. Appreciate you for facilitating the phones, the guests, and the conversation. Without further ado, here's your host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
Yes, and in closing, I'd just like to remind that we have the Monk versus U.S. to be researched by the Longshoremen Concern. We have a potential for Ben Crump to be recontacted with renewed information that might urge him to do a referral if he doesn't get involved hands-on. We also have the Black Vets Project that's the center of this. And we also have, what is that? We also have the legal clinics to pursue. So y'all guys have something to leave to work with, and I hope that we'll, as you keep on moving, you'll gather momentum and attract even more. I want to say this, that we, and it's brought out clearly, we are the basis for the wealth of this country. We are agriculturalists who harvested the crops and made this country rich. We are the inventors who invented things worldwide to make this country rich and stable. We are the patriots of this country. We are, if you want to talk about patriotism, we are the real, true patriots of this country because we've endured all kinds of things that create discord within us. We've endured and bounced back from every kind of heinous crime that could be committed, and we still represent well when it comes to this country. So we are the patriots, and I want it to be clearly understood that that's what we are here in this country, and let's proceed as such and work together. Thank you very much, Ms. Moore, for all you contribute and your willingness to participate in the ongoing movement toward
our vindication from this country's hold on our minds and our bodies. And thank you very much, a listening audience, for your participation. Have a good day from this perspective, from this part of the program, and welcome the music that Tim is going to play to soothe your soul and to stir you up spiritually.
Ashe, and so I had a couple of people asking for Ms. Moore to identify herself and how they can reach out and be able to assist her in all that she does, but she just hung up, and so we will get you that information, Mama Chocolate. We will get the rest of you the information. But you know God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. You know, Bishop, I'm coming to see you this Sunday. I'm coming to see you. I'm bringing some of my friends with me. We coming on in to break bread with you and to hear from you about how God is going to move in our lives, for our lives, to help others. Here's Smokey Northrup. I understand. It's the Gospel Hours on Wise Words with One Gone Show.
Sometimes I feel like giving up. It seems like my best just ain't good enough. Lord, if you hear me, I'm calling you. Do you see, do you care all about what I'm going through? And then he said, one more day, one more step. See, I'm preparing you for myself. And when you can't hear my voice, please trust my plan. I'm the Lord I see, and yes, I understand. But sometimes I feel like I'm all alone. I'm just like a stranger so far from home. I feel like I've done all that I can do. Please, Lord, give me strength. I'm just trying to make it through. That's when he told I won't forget, nor have I forgot. You see, everything works according to my plan. I am God, trust me, I got the whole world in my hands. Oh,
believer that has ever been talked about because of your praise, has street people and say, you just don't know. Yes, Lord. Come on. I need every unashamed praiser to stand and testify.
I see you sitting there looking crazy at me.
Yeah.
It's the Gospel Hour on the Wise Words of One Gon Show, and I want to thank all of y'all for staying on. It was a few that hung up, but it's a lot of y'all still here, knowing that God is good to us, and let us be good to ourselves. It is the Gospel Hour. I'm DJ One Gon, and here's some more gospel just for you.
Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. You know, one thing that has kept me in my trying time is that God told me that my wilderness was not permanent. Tell your neighbor, say your wilderness is not permanent. It's only a temporary situation. Just touch about three people and tell them what you're going through. It's only a test. It's only a test.
with It's Only a Test right here. We going through a lot, but it's only a test. It's only a test. Let God lead the way and you just follow. It's the Gospel Hours on Blog Talk Radio.
We want to speak life over you today. Every person listening, we want you to understand that no matter where you've been or where you might currently find yourself, it's not over. When God is in it, there is no limit. New breed. Along to just encourage you a little further. James Fortune.
This is for someone right now.
I know it's darkest.
Yes.
Just before dawn.
It's not easy right now.
Might be the hardest season you experience.
I've been there.
It hurts.
But it won't last.
Won't be too long.
Won't be too
because
long.
You are
closer than you think you are.
You may
yet.
Not see it yet. Come on, Israel.
Oh, look to the sky. Help is on the way.
It's not over.
It's not over.
It's not finished.
It's not
finished. It's not
We're
the
ending.
End. Your story's not over. This is only.
Only the beginning.
Only the beginning.
He makes all the difference. He makes It makes all things new. Yes. With God.
All things are new. All things are new.
In the spirit, I sense something starting to move.
Come on. Something is moving.
Everything is turning around.
Make all things.
gospel hour with DJ Blanco, serving Sacramento with the best of gospel music.
With the gospel hours. We're only going to do 30 minutes. I have to get out of here and go to juvenile court, and I want y'all to pray for this young man that he's learned something from being locked up. It's his first time, and he wanted to be tough and so tough that he got rough, right? And so I want God to free this young man's mind. Not I want God. I'm asking God to free this young man's mind so he can be a better person for all of us to see, right? God is good, y'all. He is good. Oh, my goodness. It is the gospel hour. I'm DJ One Gone, and I appreciate you. I see Brother Paul Williams still on. I still see a few other brothers on here, Brother Marvell, Mark the Disciple. I see Double R on here, and I see our brother from L.A. I see the 310. I'm going to let him say one word or a couple of words about how God has moved in his life, and we're going to continue. Good morning, brother. I got you back on, brother. Give us something that God gave to you. Is this Big Money or is this Brother Kwali? Okay, we're going to move on. I'm going to go to Double R and see if he can give us something. Double R, give us something that God gave to you.
Man, God is great, man. It was a great show today, man. Just this, that's the faith and that hope and reparations, man. It was a great show today. And, man, we just got to keep this reparations marathon moving. It's a great show today, man. I yield.
Yashay. Wally, let me see you. Brother Wally, is that you? You're on mute, Brother Wally. All right. We're going to continue to move in the spirit. Once again, man, I appreciate y'all ear hustling with us. You could be anywhere ear hustling. Maybe let me go to Brother Paul Williams. Brother Paul.
Yes, go ahead.
I just want to get something that God gave to you, maybe through this broadcast or something in life that you can share with the listeners.
Oh, yeah. So what God gave to me was a life experience. You know what I mean? On how he's been good and progressing and just been good to my family, my wife, and my life, roof over our head. And blessed to see another day. He woke us up this morning. So we have to be grateful and thankful. You know what I mean? Warm blood still running through our veins. And he didn't say the road going to be easy. It ain't gonna always be peaches and cream. But he allowed us to see another day, and that's what it's all about, continue to moving forward.
Ashe, Ashe. Mark the Disciple, I'd be remiss to get you not to say anything. Mark the Disciple.
Yes, sir. Man, you know what God gave to me while I was listening to the over the course of the radio show today is that we've not yet begun to fight. See, God did not create no punk. And we got to stop being punk. We got to take back what the devil has stole. And that's in the word. And I'm going to digress.
I say. And without further ado, I got the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. I need for him to add to this additive. Brother Marvell.
Yeah, I'm just grateful that I recognize the importance of gratitude. We talked about this the other day, but I'm just grateful that I can always lean toward gratitude no matter what. And it's a soothing effect. It's a healing effect. And it helps me stay present so that I can move forward instead of always looking in the rearview mirror wondering what's behind me. So I'm just grateful that gratitude is that one size fit all, and then I have the ability to tap into it and to keep myself encouraged when encouragement might not come from elsewhere sometimes.
Ashe. Ooh, look at God, man. Look at God. Oh, my goodness. Hey, to the listening audience out there, you know the God that we serve is a powerful God. Lean to his understanding and not your own. Also allow him to make ways for you and get out the way of him making ways for you. You know, sometimes we often say, I'm gonna put it in God's hand. But it only stay there for 2 seconds because we want to take it back and work that thing ourselves. Hey, let me give you something. Wise words from one go, leave it in God's hand and step back and watch him work. God bless y'all.
We're living in a time where everybody is struggling for their lives. They're stressed. They're depressed. But with the power invested in me, I came to speak life over you. I speak blessings of health, blessings of peace. To my brothers and sisters all around the world, especially those in South Africa, struggling with AIDS, in Brazil, the States.
I speak life, you're gonna live. Oh, my brother, my sister, I speak life. You are the head and not the tail. You will prevail. I speak life. Don't give up the fight for your life. You shall live and not die.
Let's not lose another person to a senseless death. Substance abuse, gang violence, suicide because of low self-esteem. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Speak life over yourself and those you love.
Help me sing it.
I speak life, you're gonna live. Oh, my brother,
say it again.
I speak life, you are the head and not the tail. You will prevail.
Hey.
I speak life, don't give up.
on the line now, as you can hear. I'll talk to y'all tomorrow. Peace. I'm listening. I'm on my radio podcast, and I had to sign off. I got you. I'm listening.
Oh, sorry.